You're listening to a Tabletop Game Talk side chat, where we go in depth on a game or topic that's just too big to fit on our regular show. If this is the first time with us, be sure to check out our weekly episodes every Tuesday, wherever you listen to your podcasts, on YouTube, or on our website, tabletopgametalk.com. Now, let the side chat begin. Hello, this is Chris, and today I'm talking with Ash Masko, one of the members of Team Ash and writer and creator of Squarriors, the comic.
Off to a good start.
Off to a great start. Well, it's soon to spawn a card game on Kickstarter. Everyone knows I'm addicted to Kickstarter, so I love talking Kickstarter. Ash, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm Ash Masko, writer, creator of Squarriors, the comic book series, and soon to be card game.
Yep. So I saw this game at Capricorn a few weeks ago, and I said, I need to know everything about this game. So I went over, I played a quick demo, gave my card. I'm like, give me a call. I need to talk to you guys. I'm addicted. Well, not addicted to squirrels, but I really like them. I have a chinchilla because it's the closest thing to a domesticated squirrel. So.
Well, and that's awesome. And obviously, we are big squirrel fans as well. You know, that was kind of one of the, motivations of making Squarriors was to kind of, you know, maybe open up some people's eyes to the little woodland creatures and maybe like see them more as friends instead of just, you know, pests. Yeah. We get a lot of people that show up to our tables and, you know, I look at squirrels in a whole new light now. You know, I see them running around the trees and I got names for them. And sometimes I pretend like this one's king and he's fighting Redcoat and, and all this stuff. And I think, in a weird way, it sort of helps out the animals.
Yeah, no, I love it. The art is fantastic as well. Actually, I mentioned Team Ash. Why don't you talk a little bit about Ashley, who's your artist?
Yeah, so yeah, Team Ash, we obviously kind of got that name from both being named Ashley. My name's Ashley Masko, usually Ash for short. Ashley Witter is the incredible, incredible, amazing, just super talented artist that I'm lucky enough to be able to work with for Squarriors. She's done quite a few other projects. She did like the Twilight series, graphic novels for like Hot Topic and stuff. You know, that's kind of one of the ways she got her start. She did like Interview with a Vampire, the graphic novel. Now she's doing a lot of variant covers. She just did, like Harley Quinn number one, she did a variant cover for. She did one for the new Darth Maul comic and Suicide Squad versus Justice League. She did a cover for. She's got a lot of stuff coming out. She does a lot of work. She's amazing. And she's in the room next to me grinding away at Squarriors as we speak.
Well, tell her we say hi and wow, that's quite a resume.
Yeah, she has done a lot of stuff. We kind of have work just piling up. So we're trying to be a little more, choosy on the stuff she takes. Cause obviously the more work we take, the slower it takes to get Squarriors done. So it's always like this balance of, getting some nice cover work and some, cool stuff for, the big money and the big interest of having, Marvel and DC covers out there while still making sure we get our, our labor of love project complete, every couple months.
Right. Yeah. Well, so my listeners are mostly board game, card game enthusiasts. I'm certain that there's crossover in the comic, but just in case people don't know what this comic is, why don't you give us a little bit of background? What's the world? What is the comic about?
Absolutely. So Squarriors, I guess the really, crumbly kind of half-ass elevator pitch is that in the mid-80s, man becomes extinct, and the same thing that eliminates man from the world gives all the little woodland creatures intelligence. So now you've got all these, rats and mice and squirrels and things living in like this post-human world, where, they're just starting to get language and understanding and rationality and everything, but they're kind of living in this world where there's still this old, broke down technology all around them. So even though they're still kind of living in these little nests and burrows and things, they're surrounded by cars and trains and huge skyscrapers and everything. So, they're kind of thrust into this insane world, where there's still just these little creatures trying to, fight and survive. And now on top of that, they're, building tribes and religions and going to war with each other and doing all these things while trying to figure out what this other, massive advanced, you know, civilization was that came before them, and, you know, to make sure that they don't end up in the same place, you know, when their time has come.
Yep. Whatever these big things were in the past, they did it wrong.
And And that's what they're understanding. You know, that's one thing that they, you know, can see pretty clearly, is that there was some sort of other super civilization that came before them, you know, and some of the animals even have some memory, you know, kind of tied in, that they remembered that there was these other creatures. They actually call them the creators and squarriers. You know, they kind of look at them as almost, you know, possibly like gods or some sort of really massive advanced, you know, super civilization that came before them, you know, but they can see that, well, they're all gone and we don't want to end up like that. So yeah.
It sounds like so cool. Like I said, I was drawn by the card game, which we'll talk about more at the end, but I'm now binge looking at all the covers and like, all right, how do I get, you know, start with issue one and move on forward. So actually that's my next question. How do I get issue one and move on forward? Where would I go to like explore this world?
So Squarriors comes out in 4-issue series. The first full series is already done and it's 4 issues, and it was called Spring. So issues 1, 2, 3, and 4 of Spring came out over like the last like 2 years or so. And you can check it out in Comixology. You can order the full trade on Amazon or at devilsdue.net or at squarriors.com. And that gives you the first 4 issues of the first series. The second series, which is called Summer, you know, Spring and then Summer. Issues 1 and 2 are out and in stores right now. Issue 3 comes out in about a month, a little over a month. And then issue 4 of Summer will come out a little later in the year. And then at the very end of the year, you're probably looking at about December, there'll be a trade for all of Summer. So then Spring will be out, Summer will be out, and then we start working on Fall.
That's awesome. And I will put all of those locations in the show notes. So if people didn't write them down, just check out the show notes and you'll have links to all of those places. So you eventually created a game out of this. And I say eventually because I know you've been working on it for quite a while and you're just now ready to kickstart it. What took you from comic to game? What made you want to create a trading card game for this?
Well, I have literally made like card games specifically as long as I can remember. As a very young kid, I would spend like my summers at my grandparents' house in Chicago. And there wasn't a lot of toys, wasn't a lot of stuff to do at my grandparents' house. But what my grandma did have was like literally hundreds of decks of playing cards. She was really into like going to casinos and like doing that. And she would like always, every time she went to a casino or went on vacation to Vegas, she would always bring back a deck of cards with her. So she had this huge drawer just packed with playing cards. And I started, you know, in the early 80s, you know, mid 80s, I had the idea to use trading cards to make games that I could play. You know, when I was, I wouldn't call it vacationing, but while I was at my grandparents' house for the summer, so I would, you know, long before Magic or any other kind of card game, I was already taking decks of cards and giving them abilities and, you know, figuring out ways where I could play card games by myself and, you know, do all these things. And I would teach them to my cousins and everything. So I was literally making card games my whole life. When we got into doing Squarriors, you know, about 3.5 years ago, you know, just as I came up with the concept and we started working on it, I already had the idea of, you know, I wanted this to be a card game. You know, I wanted to have, you know, a Squarriors really kind of epic tribal warfare, you know, type thing that would go along with the comic. So when we made the comic, it was already, you know, before issue one came out, I was already working on the card game. You know, there was going to be a companion card game pretty much from the beginning. And we were hoping to be able to, you know, tie those together. So in future issues, you know, we could have, you know, maybe some special cards or some promo cards or something that would come with, you know, future issues of Squarriors and things like that. So, you know, that was the plan from the beginning.
That's a great idea, too. I mean, once you have the world, the rest of it's just mechanics, right? And if, you, like you said, you've been doing mechanics since you were a kid.
Yes.
So you had a lot in your back pocket.
And you know, it's like, and we already have all the artwork. You know, most, you know, I would say 99% of the artwork on the cards just comes from the comics, and the card game follows to some extent the actual series. So along with, you know, the very first core series of the Squarriors card game will be Spring. So it'll be a lot of the things, you know, a lot of the elements that were in the first series of the Scorriers comic universe will be the first issue or the first expansion of the card game. And then, you know, we'll have little sub expansions that come out. And then once summer is done, you know, the next comic series, then there'll be a summer release for the card game that, again, will be, you know, all these new characters and all the new elements from the new series will now be in the card game. And you'll be able to keep adding to that so you can kind of, you know, play your own Scorriers adventures, you know, as the comics release.
Yeah, I love that idea. Now, one of the things I noted about, I've played a lot of dueling games, but yours is different for a lot of reasons. I have not played something even remotely similar to this. So I'm going to let you describe, as a player, when I sit down, what's in front of me? What am I working with as I play this game, and how does it play out? Because I think this is a fascinating thing about what you've created here.
Well, and thanks. And that's exactly the kind of response, you know, we're looking to hear from people. You know, to give you a little bit more background, you know, I also play a lot of different card games. I was still making card games way into high school and everything. And then I started seeing that other companies were now producing card games. So I used to play, like, there was a game called Blood Wars, which was a card game a long time ago, and Guardians and things I was playing long before Magic was even really, you know, out there. And Magic existed, but it didn't have that same dominance. And then I eventually got into Magic. I played Magic from, I don't know, the mid 90s up until about a year ago.
That's a heck of a repertoire.
Yeah. And I literally just sold like this massive, massive collection that I had, you know, of like 20 years worth of Magic cards. I just finally got rid of them. I left myself with just one EDH deck. That's all I got left now. But so, you know, I played through so many games and saw so many things that I liked and then really disliked. And, you know, my number one problem with like Magic and a lot of these games was always that you had this deck and you had this mandatory resource that you had to use to play the game, but it was always shuffled into your deck somewhere. And I have terrible luck. I mean, just awful luck. You know, I would just lose every Magic game I played to Mana Screw or Mana Flood or whatever. So the very first thing with the card game I wanted to develop and really get in the world was something where you weren't tied into just you having to draw these certain cards. There wasn't that luck aspect of that luck of the, literally the luck of the draw. So I think the biggest thing people notice with Scorriers is, you know, there's no deck, you know, everything you put together, you start in play. So you build your tribe of creatures and they start in play. You get to choose like your locations and your lands and things, and those all start in play. And then you have just a hand of tactic cards, which again, just start in your hand. You don't have to draw them. They don't come from some other place. You don't have to wait to hopefully get this card. So that the game is really, really based on whoever built the best tribe and whoever plays the best in the game is going to win. And with, you know, the amount of testing, we've been working on the game 3 years now. And with the amount of testing and everything we've done, you know, that's what we're getting. You're getting that the people who build better decks and play the game better always wins. I mean, you know, in almost every single situation of the game, you know, very rarely is there some sort of bad luck play or anything like that. It's all about, you know, using the right creatures in the right way and, you know, attacking at the right times and with the right attacks, because there's different ways to attack in the game. It's not just swinging at your opponent and that's it. You have dominance attacks where you're effectively attacking with like your whole tribe. You've got different types of like stealth attacks where you can send in, you know, a single creature to go in and assassinate some sort of high value target. You have manipulation attacks, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's manipulating, you know, other creatures on the board to join your side. And then we have things called leadership challenges where there's no fighting involved at all. And it's really just about, you know, utilizing your counsel and their intelligence and their leadership, you know, to better your situation and to bring down your opponent and stuff. So,
yeah. And you do all this in a pretty simple way. Like when I was, it didn't take more than a few minutes to kind of get the idea of how this works. You know, you have these three different ways to attack and it's just, well, you can do one of each and however you want to control that and wherever you want to put, you know, your tribesmen, you know, that's where you can put your strength. And it was very, very simple to understand, but yet lots and lots of depth in what you can do there. So I was really impressed.
And yeah, that was, you know, one of the things that the game that you've played and the final version that's now going to release at the end of the month here, you know, this is really what we're calling like Scoriers 4.2 or so. You know, we've gone through four full versions of the game that have been, you know, almost totally different, you know, from one set to the next set as we were just, you know, building up the game, completing the game, testing the game, and then breaking down the game, keeping the things we liked from that, and then building the new game. I kind of lost where I was going with that.
No, the fact that it's taken you a number of iterations to get to the streamline.
Yeah, well, and I started thinking about just how many things we've gone through, and I almost kind of stumbled myself thinking about that.
It is staggering the amount of things that it takes to, especially for a trading card game, because, how many cards are in the initial core set?
I think it's 224 total cards, and that's what you would get, when you buy Scoriers the card game. It's not booster packs. It's nothing like that. Effectively, you get one of every domain, which is like your different code cards, your strongholds, your lands, effectively just the different places your creatures can be. You get one of every one. You get one of every creature that's in the game, and then you get three of every single tactic card that's in the game, because the most you can have of a tactic is three of one in your hand. So when you get a set of Scoriers cards, you can literally build any kind of tribe you want, any way you want to build it. You know, every time, you know, you just get a full set of the cards.
Yeah, and that's just a staggering number of cards to think about. I mean, I know if you're familiar with trading card games, people think, well, Magic has 20,000 cards out there. It's like, yeah, but they also have huge teams that have been working on it for 30 years almost.
Yes.
And, you know, to go out the door with 200 plus cards, all of unique, you know, abilities and stuff, and have that be balanced within itself. So you can give it to people and say, okay, go ahead and build stuff. And we're hoping that there's no broken combos in there that we haven't seen, but you know, that's just a staggering feat to overcome. So I could easily see 3+ years and many iterations to get this out the door.
Well, and I think kind of where we were getting at that is that to how do I put this and, you know, make it make sense to people who haven't played the game yet. You know, I guess what I really wanted, you know, going through all these iterations of the game, version 1, 2, 3, and now 4, it was always about, you know, this is a fun game. This has some fun elements, but is it Scoriers? You know, is this what a Scoriers game should be? Does this feel like you're in control of this tribe? Does it feel like you're fighting to survive? You know, does it feel like every single tactical decision you make, you know, is really vital to your strategy and vital to everything that's going on in the game? And, you know, that's actually kind of what got us through the first couple iterations, was that, you know, we'd come up with good games with good mechanics and, hey, this is fun, but it doesn't feel like Scoriers. And I really, that was kind of the biggest challenge, was just to get a game that, you know, when you sat down and played it, it didn't feel like, oh, well, this could have been another version of Magic, or this could have been this other game. You know, it was really important to me that this felt like a Scoriers game, that, you know, if you were a Scoriers fan, the things going on in the game, the decisions you make were very similar to, you know, the same things these little creatures are going through in the stories and in the comic. So I think that that's kind of a fun angle also for at least the Scoriers fans, you know, people, right, who are into the comic. You know, you're literally able to play through these stories in a way. And yeah, that was one of the biggest things to overcome, was, you know, to hit that balance of really good gameplay that still felt like Scoriers, that felt like this epic saga you were playing through.
Yep. Now, I can't speak to how much you hit the world yet. Within the next week or so, I will. But I can say the game itself definitely is still fun. It's not like it sacrificed anything for being thematic by any means. So,
yeah, I think the gameplay is cool. One more thing I wanted to add. You know, we repurpose all the cards, and I think that's kind of another thing that really sets us apart, is that every card in the game does whatever it does as far as, you know, being a creature or being a tactic that, you know, enhances an ability or does something. But then every single card has a dual purpose, where after it's used or after it's killed or whatever, the cards go into what's called your strategies. So you have this kind of almost secondary game going on, where as you play cards and you do things, you're actually building up this chain of cards that's the strategy, and every card sort of chains into the next one, so that, you know, they enhance each other. So on top of just this, you know, lots of back and forth fighting and moving your creatures and fighting to survive the whole game, you're also building up like these strategies and these things. So, you know, it may seem like, you know, only having 10 cards in your hand, it seems like really limited, or, you know, you can only have, you know, 6 or 7 creatures on the board seems limited, but all of those things also come together. And like this big strategy chain that you build as you play the game. And I think that's been one of the things that a lot of new players really grabbed onto that they thought was really exciting about the game, was the fact that you're not just picking out a lightning bolt that does 3 damage. You're picking out a lightning bolt that does 3 damage, and then once it's in a strategy, has this whole other, you know, this whole other aspect to the game.
Yep.
Though I'd like to add, there's no lightning bolts in Scoriers.
There's actually no magic, correct?
Not really.
Okay. Sort of maybe technology artifact type of things that look like magic.
Yeah, there's certainly some spiritual elements going on in Scoriers, and I got to kind of leave it at that.
Fair enough.
And some of that does, of course, you know, play into the game itself. Yeah.
So I do want to so the strategies, the way the cards are laid out, if I remember correctly, is you have, you know, your normal picture and then your ability underneath the picture, but then there's a bottom row with just slightly darker that's what activates when it's in your strategy. Am I describing that card accurately?
Yes, exactly. Like if you're looking at just a regular strategy, like a tactic card, it is split into 2 text boxes. And, you know, the top text box does whatever it does, deals damage or enhances a creature, or, you know, does some effect. And then the bottom half actually gives this additional ability while it's in your strategy that will also then sometimes compound with other cards. You know, it might say something like, you know, the creatures of this tribe get extra might for every other card after this that has, you know, this type of strategy involved or things like that. So you can kind of build these really big tactical strategy things, you know, these sets of cards that, you know, that everything repurposes as you play. So when you're actually, you know, building your tribe and putting your cards together, it's not just about, you know, having a counter or, you know, just having a direct damage. It's about the long-term strategy of what you're doing, how all of these cards are ultimately going to come together, you know, to overpower your opponents and things. So I think that really gives like an extra, you know, kind of next step to like the seasoned players of Scoriers. You know, the early players play a lot of, you know, just really fast cards that they just kind of play and they don't think much about it. And, you know, they win, they lose, whatever. But as you get deeper into the game, as you become a seasoned player, you really start developing your strategy. And I think that's what, you know, that's what opens up the game, I think, for a lot of people who are like really into strategy, you know, tabletop gaming.
Yeah. Now, how long? So I played the demo copy of it. So it's not a very long game, but typically how long does a game take?
Generally, you know, we're able to use, you know, with, you know, 2 veteran players, so to speak, you know, we do a stream almost every week and we can usually get through a game in about 40, 45 minutes, you know, depending on how much talking and stuff we do in between. So I'd say a usual game is under an hour. You know, it takes a little bit to get Scoriers going. You know, there is some strategy involved. There is some decision making. So sometimes the turns are a little bit longer than, you know, grizzly bears go.
Right.
You know, it takes a little longer than that, but you can usually get through a game in under an hour.
So, I mean, that's actually a testament to this because you're talking, you have 3 different areas on the board, your location, location is one of them. I know that.
Yeah. So you have what's called your vanguard, and that's where you have like your lands. So effectively just the lands you control is your vanguard. And you can kind of cycle through different lands. It can be actually more than one card. And from your vanguard is where you do your assassination and stealth attacks. You know, each kind of location has a specific kind of thing you can do there. So you have your vanguard, which is all your land cards. You can do your stealth attacks there. Then you have a stronghold, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's effectively like your base. And that's where your army is. And from your stronghold, you can do dominance attacks, which is effectively taking your whole army and just attacking somebody else's domain. Then your third one is your council. And your council is actually represented by what's called a code card. In the Scoriers universe, everything's about, you know, what code you follow, the code of will, the code of blood, or the code of might. So you'll have one of those codes, and there's a bunch of variance ones, and it kind of gives different abilities. And that's where your council is. So effectively, you keep your leaders there and your high will creatures in that area, and then you can do what's called leadership challenges from, you know, from that location. So each location kind of has its own thing it can do, and your own creatures that you would want to have there that may be more effective, you know, depending on where they're at in the game.
Yep. So now you have these three locations, well, council, domain, and location slash lands. And then you have your hand of 10 cards. Then you have your creatures, and your creatures are also, they start in play?
All your creatures start in play. If you're familiar with, like, other kinds of, like, tabletop war games, like Warhammer or War Machine or something, we use a similar thing where, like, you can have effectively 20 points worth of creatures in your tribe. You know, every tribe, or every creature has a tribe value on it. And then as long as that adds up to 20 or less, those are the creatures. So yeah, when you start out a game, you put down your code, your stronghold, and your lands, and then you just put your creatures in each of those however you want. You want a couple creatures in your council, you might have three or four creatures in your army, and then, you know, maybe you have one assassin or two assassins in your vanguard, or, I don't know, 10 creatures in your vanguard, but everything starts out in play.
And then... And so what I was kind of getting at is the 40, 45 minute game time means even with just this, you know, relatively small amount of cards when you compare it to other like deck sized games, there's still a ton of strategy and a ton of decisions to make and a ton of ways that things can play out as you're playing through the game. It's not like a 10 minute, you know, I'm going to rush you and you're going to be dead without any retaliate or no way to retaliate or something like that.
So, well, and again, another thing we worked on for several years, you know, while we were doing this, is like trying to control the snowballing effect. You know, and that was probably the two big things when we were making this game, was making it as little luck as possible, and, you know, making it so that once somebody had an advantage or was winning, it didn't mean that the game was over.
Yep.
So that's another reason that, you know, the games do take a little longer. You know, I mean, we've seen games where people have really, you know, got beat really hard for the first four or five turns, but because of a couple of really good strategy cards and a couple of, you know, good recruit calls and things like that, they were able to turn a game around and win. You know, it's definitely one of those games you're never really out until you're out. Yeah. So, you know, it can, you know, two really good players, you know, we've seen games go, you know, much longer than an hour, honestly. You know, when really good players with really good tribes, you know, they can go at it for a while.
I like it. And so you say there's little luck involved, which is true, because, again, you're not drawing cards. You're basically playing all those things. But there is at least one place where there is luck. Describe that.
So I assume you're talking about, like, some of the dice rolling?
Yep.
Okay. And there is. When you do a stealth attack or a manipulation attack, there is a little bit of luck involved, as would be kind of in real life. And you do. They're all roles that can be modified, you know, to you know, have a better advantage, but there is still a little bit of luck when you do that. So when you're like doing a stealth attack, which is effectively sneaking into, you know, your opponent's, you know, council or vanguard or, you know, whatever their location is, you know, there is a role, and the role that you always have to beat is whatever the current power is of each domain. So you have three domains, each of them have some sort of current power value, usually represented by a die, because they can be, you know, a level one, a level two, a level three, up to level six. And effectively, the higher the domain power, the harder it is to then manipulate or stealth attack a target there. So that's kind of where the rolling comes in. There's some modifiers to make that a little bit better, but, you know, it is possible to fail a stealth attack. It is possible to fail a manipulation attack if the, you know, the creature you're attacking is in a, you know, a well-fortified area. So again, that's kind of comes into the strategy. You know, you want to keep your powers high. You want to keep your discipline, your influence high on your creatures to make them less susceptible to stealth and manipulation attacks. So there is a die roll.
Yep. Well, and so I thought it was quite interesting. Like, I really, the die roll to me was a risk reward thing, obviously. Can I attack? But what I was thinking of ahead of time was, how can I lower the defense so that I can be the best possible, you know, chance of hitting that die roll? And so that's what I was thinking. It wasn't so much as like, well, I have a 1 in 6 chance, so I'm going to go for it. You could, if you're last ditch effort, this has to work, otherwise I'm going to lose. But mostly you're just trying to manipulate those power levels so that when you do make those attacks, you know, you have the best
right
chance possible.
Yeah, and exactly. And then the strategy of getting those numbers down, And, you know, and keeping your numbers up, obviously, is a big part of the game, you know, because you have to, you got to hedge your bets. It's like, you know, okay, well, this, I can do this attack and hopefully get that number down a little bit to give my, you know, maybe my stealth attacker a better chance of attacking. Or, you know, or sometimes, you know, you're just kind of, you might just be screwed. You might be dealing with a player who really built up his stuff, and you might not be able to do a successful stealth attack until you figure out a way to whittle down, you know, the power of wherever you're attacking.
Yep. So you mentioned a little bit about your distribution model. It's not collectible. There's no randomness to this, if I understand correctly.
Right. Everything we're going to do is just complete sets. It's just going to come out with a core set. Then we'll probably have a couple of little expansions that go along with it. But everything kind of goes off of, yeah, I think they call it like the living card game model.
Yep.
Something similar to that.
So if I'm a player and I have a friend, do I need a core set each, or is that one core set able to support multiple players?
It definitely can support multiple players. As long as, you know, those players don't want to both play, you know, the same creatures, you know, cause you only have one card of each creature, one card of each of the domains. But yeah, you could easily get one core set and, you know, and do like drafts and things like that. There's plenty of cards to have many, many full tribes worth of, you know, decks, so to speak.
So, but so you would want people to have a core set each. That's the best experience.
I think if you just wanted to play with some buddies, you know, on a Friday night, it'd be really easy just to break out, you know, one set and have people, you know, put together some tribes and you could play. You could totally do that. I think most players that really enjoy the game and want to, you know, play it and make the most of it, they're going to want their own set, you know, so they can have every card available to them, you know, to make the best decks possible.
Well, it also sounds to me like since there's not a lot of randomness, you really get that deck building, you know, metagame out of this as well. So, and that can be very fun. One of the things I like about Magic is when there's not someone around, you can go out and build your own deck and just tweak your deck by yourself forever. So you still get that feel with this game, and then you can, you know, test your tribe when you're ready.
Well, and that's certainly, you know, one of the, I mean, most fun things about, you know, trading card games is building your deck, you know. And we wanted to, again, make sure that that was a fun experience. And, you know, for me, as a longtime card game creator and player, you know, it's one of my favorite things about Scoriers. You know, I love, you know, who's going to be in my tribe this time? You know, who's going to get paired up with who? And, you know, what kind of angle am I going to go? Am I going to go, you know, heavier manipulation with a little bit of stealth thrown in? Or am I going to go all dominance attacks and just make this super army that just dominates the board the whole time? Or do I want to go, you know, more leadership heavy and really have a lot of will and a lot of just smart war room things going on? And you can, it's like, even with just the one set, you could easily build yourself, you know, five or six probably different, you know, tribes worth of decks to play, you know, and it is fun. It really yields itself to lots of different, you know, versions of decks. You know, I think, you know, we'll be vulnerable to a meta like any other game. Eventually, you know, people will put together enough cards to figure out that, you know, here's one of the better tribes you can build. But I think that it's not going to be as, you know, the meta won't be nearly as rigid in Scoriers than other games, I don't think.
So now we keep talking about building tribes. Are there no pre-made factions for the characters? So you don't have like X number of factions and you can only choose cards from this particular faction, or is there something like that?
All of the creature cards do have a tribe on them, but it doesn't affect, you know, the tribe building for when you're building your own creature, you know, your own tribe in any way, except for, you know, whatever kind of, you know, bonuses that they may give. I mean, obviously there's, you know, cards that affect, you know, creatures of a certain tribe, but you are free to mix every creature. You know, you can put all the bad guys with all the good guys. It doesn't matter. You know, you can build it anyway. You know, there's really no limits as far as tribe building in the game outside of just the point system.
So you can splash all you want, and the only penalty you're taking is maybe synergy bonuses that you're not going to get.
Exactly. You may, you know, limit yourself because you may have, you know, Redcoat, for instance, gives a bonus to other creatures of his same tribe. So you may use some other guys and they might not get that bonus, making him a little bit less valuable. But again, there's nothing stopping you from mixing any creatures you want. You know, there's nothing stopping you from just making your ultimate Scoriers team.
So let's talk a little bit about the Kickstarter, which is starting...
Hopefully March 28th. That's what we're looking right now. You know, if we're not 100% ready, we may move it back, you know, but, you know, that's the date we're shooting for right now.
So what are you aiming for here? Obviously the core set and what will be, do you have you thought about stretch goals? Have you thought about, I'm sure you've thought about what the base is. So let's talk about that first. What are the basic pledge levels?
So the basic, you know, honestly, and so we're not going to have too many variations as far as, you know, like what you can get as far as like backer perks. You know, there'll be just the core set of the game. There'll be a version where you can get two core sets of the game, you know, for like you and a buddy. There'll be like a retailer pack where they can get, you know, 10 things of the game at a retailer discount if they have a brick and mortar store. I think the more exciting things, as you know, real Scoriers fans will be interested in, is that there will be promo cards. You know, there will be special tiers of like full art cards, foil cards, you know, all that kind of same, you know, chase card things that, you know, are in every other game. You know, that will also be in Scoriers. But for the most part, we're really trying to just focus on, here's a Kickstarter, you buy the game. And that's pretty much the extent of it. We'll have a few things where, like, you know, maybe you can get a print. We've got the play mats. We've got a play mat available right now on our website, which is like a kind of early adopter special edition play mat. We made 150 of them. We've got that out right now. And then we'll have another special one for Kickstarter. That'll be a Kickstarter only play mat. But that's pretty much the extent of it, man. We're just trying to focus on get the game out, get the full game out. We're not breaking it down to like little mini things where, you know, you get 20 cards or like a mini deck. It's all just you buy the game and we're done. Okay.
So even with the chase cards, you're really talking about alt art type stuff. These aren't new or special cards.
Nope. Yeah. Those would be the exact same cards with the exact same abilities already in the core set. You know, they're just going to be, you know, cooler. You know, they'll just be full art, or again, they'll have some sort of, you know, foiling and, you know, just something like that. Now, there won't be any kind of cards that you could only get, you know, through the Kickstarter outside of, you know, the vanity versions of them.
That's awesome. And what is your, do you know what your goals are going to be yet? Your funding goal?
You know, we're not sure. I would hate to
enough to cover say costs.
Anything. Just yeah. It's. I mean, honestly, we're shooting for enough to cover pretty much the minimum costs. You know, so we're not going to be asking for, you know, $120,000 or anything like that. Right. You know, we're going to be shooting for just the bare minimum to make sure that we can print them all and send them all out, and we'll go from there. You know, hopefully, obviously, we'd like to go way over whatever the minimum is, but you know, we're looking at starting pretty low. You know, it's more important for us to be successful and get the game out than it is for us to, you know, print 10,000 versions of the game, you know, on day one.
Yep. What about conventions? I'm a huge conventionaholic. So any upcoming conventions you plan on being at?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Ashley and I already do tons of conventions, you know, for Scoriers, and we'll certainly be bringing Scoriers TCG, you know, along with us. Some of these events we're doing, you know, we're just there as guests and we're just kind of signing things and selling some comics and everything. And then we've got several events where we'll have a full 10x20 booth where we'll be running demos and everything of the Scoriers card game. We've got about 15 cons booked so far. I think we have like another like 15 or 20 of them that we're waiting for confirmations on. So it's like, we do a lot of shows. So we'll be all over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're pretty close to, you're in Lake Geneva, right?
I'm in Ingleside in Illinois.
So
in between Round Lake and Fox.
Yeah, I was actually thinking Round Lake. Lake Geneva is just north of there. But Gary Con's coming up, and I'm going to be there. So I was, a con that's in your neighborhood, but more role playing ish possibly. But anyway, I digress. I just want to track you down at a con someplace. Are you going to be at Origins?
I'm not going to be at Origins. Like the next show, we've got a show coming up next weekend. We'll be in Tulsa. As far as like Illinois shows, we'll be at C2E2. We'll be, of course, at my show, Counticon, in October. think that's all as far as kind of like local Illinois-ish type shows that we've got. We've got, we'll be in Texas. We'll be in Rhode Island, Colorado Springs. We'll be in New Jersey. We'll be in Sacramento. I don't know. We've got a bunch of stuff. Yeah. And all that stuff you can find on scoreyears.com. That's usually – actually, I think right now it's not updated, but it should be updated within – you know, the next couple of days here with all our shows.
Yep. And that's spelled SQUARRIORS.com. Yep. Also a link in the show notes. So this has been great talking to you and learning about the game. Is there anything else you want to cover or you want to tell people before we go out?
Check out Scoreyears, check out the comic. Please take a look at the game. Again, scoreyears.com or scoreyearstcg.com. If you're really interested in helping out, you know, the game on an early adopter level, you can go to either of those websites and it'll link you to our special edition playmat. It's $30. It's super nice. It's all, you know, it's got the rubber matting on the bottom and it's the big thick, you know, 3mm gaming mat. It's super nice. It's only $30 and it really helps us out for, you know, further developing the game and getting all of our stuff locked down before Kickstarter. So I'd like people to at least consider taking a look at that, even to play with their other card games.
Yeah, I'll put an image up. So if you go to my website, tabletopgametalk.com, there'll be a blog post about this, which triggers all the RSS stuff and makes in there. But I'll add some images of said playmat and all the links so that you guys can, you know, find what we're talking about and just take a look at, you know, the art, which is I've been staring at it this entire time. It's just phenomenal. And yeah, I'm wishing you guys all the best of success. I will be talking about it on our main show as well. And like I say, I'm going to be watching this Kickstarter closely because I'll be one of your early bird funders. So
awesome. Really appreciate it. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time to have me on your show. And it was fun. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Ash. Hopefully when we talk again, you'll be sending out trading card games to people.
That's the plan. I think we're going to do it. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Yep. Yeah, it looks great. I don't have any doubts, and you guys will be able to do this. So
wonderful. Thanks, dude.
All right. Thanks, Ash. Thank you for listening to another Tabletop Game Talk Side Chat. If you enjoyed this podcast, check out our weekly show if you don't already. It's available wherever you find your podcasts, on YouTube, and at the tabletopgametalk.com website. Until next time, keep playing games and having fun.